host Matt, and with me as always is my co-host Lorna.
Hello!
Episode 54. Yep. If you've never listened to the podcast before.
Is it?
I think so. Yeah. You're looking very anxious at me.
I think it's 53.
No, 53 was last week's.
Okay. Yep. I trust you.
I trust me as well. If you've never listened to the podcast before, we've got 53 or 52 other episodes you can listen to. And what we do is we report on a topic for our moment or event or person of mystery.
Except now, tends to be multiple.
We now we're in year two. We choose a topic. Last week was presidents.
Yeah.
And each of us, or one of us in this case, does a couple of reports, short reports, on linked topics.
Yeah, so it's like a theme.
Yes, good explanation. So, we have a theme for each week.
There's a linking thread between the two topics, but both, or sometimes there might be three sometimes, but each of them will be something from history with a common theme.
We need to work on our elevator pitch.
Yeah.
We'll have it nailed by next week, 100%. We're still working it out.
Yeah. Teething
issues.
54 weeks in.
Alright. Teething issues.
No, we've got the other one. We had a few hiccups with the other one, like when we had our old format. But now, new format.
New format.
New
year. New us. This week, the theme is running. Weird, isn't it?
Last week, how did you come across it?
Well, I went through my list of stuff because I've had a massive list of topics.
Yeah.
And I had a name on there. And sometimes I just have names and I have to search them again because I can't remember what they did. And I thought, oh, this is actually quite a good one.
I have names as well on my list.
And I thought, oh, actually, this is seems like quite a short one. And then it led into the other one.
So I ended up with two topics.
And then obviously I spoke to you and said, I've got two topics. So that'll probably cover the whole episode. Mm-hmm. Do you have any interesting facts which you can find about running?
I've got a few. I'm not going to lie. It's a bit exciting.
Fascinating facts. Fascinating. Right, anyway. So, first topic. Catherine Switzer.
Yep. Cool name. Where's she from? Switzerland. Is she?
No, she's not. She's from America.
That would be good, though.
It would have been good. So, we're talking about running, obviously, this week. I saw an interview with Catherine. That was my first bit of research, was an interview with Catherine.
So we're not going too far back here, are we?
We're not. The 1960s.
Yep.
Running, did you know this? Running long distance was seen as questionable for women.
I didn't know that before I did my facts.
Oh, right. Because I told you to avoid a couple of,
which I did. I don't know anything about
this
person.
Okay.
I found my facts, but now you're saying that, I'm like, oh.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because I think I found a time when the women's marathon was introduced for the first time.
Yeah, I know when it was as well. I've written that in mind.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So it's quite, anyone who is listening and doesn't know that, it was seen as questionable.
Which is a joke. I don't understand, right, how anybody could think running a long distance is questionable for a... based on gender, how can they differentiate that?
Well, I'll tell you what she said. She said, this is a vague quote, you'd get big legs, grow a moustache, and hairs on your chest. She also said something.
Was she taking the mic? No, being serious?
She was saying this is what people thought at the time.
Right. Oh, I thought you meant she was I was like, is
Catherine
she delusional?
Was saying, everyone was saying it, like, we couldn't run because of these reasons. This is what
That's probably something like the equivalent that Donald Trump would have said if he was back.
Lots of people were saying it back then. So it wasn't the done thing. And by the 1967 Boston Marathon, which will become relevant in a minute, the marathon had been an all-male event for 70 years.
The Boston one?
But then just thinking about it now, I think it was all marathons. No? Oh, okay. Shaking your head. Right.
No, sorry.
Some national ruling I saw by the Amateur Athletic Union in 1966, so the year before, limited women's races to 1.5 miles. This is in America.
You are right. It was 70 years.
Yeah?
Yeah.
At the Olympics, the farthest women were allowed to run was 800 metres. at that time.
But why?
So, and that the 800 meter race had only recently been reinstated in 1960. And I was like, why was that? So I looked into it.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little sidebar. So in the 1928 Olympics, there was a huge uproar after several women runners collapsed after the 800 meter race. And there was these newspapers, as they always do, jumped onto yeah. this, saying it was disgusting that women were being encouraged to attempt such debilitating events. And it was therefore cancelled until 1960 when it was introduced. It's bad, that, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not happy at all.
Because this article I was reading was saying that when men did that and they collapsed, it was seen as this, like, oh, this is like, they put so much effort into this, it's so brave and courageous.
They can't do this.
Yeah,
why
exactly. That's what they said. However, back to Catherine. Catherine wanted to run.
Mm-hmm.
She specifically wanted to run the Boston Marathon in 1967. So she filled out her entry form with just her initials. She signed it KV Switzer.
Mm-hmm.
So they couldn't tell if it was male or female.
Yep.
And she had a trainer who was called Arnie Briggs.
Oh, he sounds so cute. Oh, they're such a cute pair. Did they get married?
Well, she'd met him when she began training. She went to Syracuse. I don't know if I'm saying it. Syracuse University in New York. And she'd started training with the men's cross-country team because there wasn't a female's cross-country team.
I'm really not surprised.
And he was 50 at the time. And he was the university mailman who also trained with the team.
Are you joking? That's so cute.
So he agreed to sort of train her. And they trained in the lead-up to the race. And he was the one who convinced her to register for the race.
Mm-hmm. But obviously that's risky. For us to register.
Yeah, and no one had registered
yeah.
To run the race at that point. No female had. The plan was to run it with Arnie Briggs and her boyfriend Tom Miller, who was an ex All-American football player and nationally ranked hammer thrower.
Oh, how did he get into that?
This would come in handy. Ooh, oh, sizzle. Sizzle.
Wait, which part?
The
football player or the hammer thrower? All of
it. Not the hammer thrower. Well, just a big guy. Big lad.
All-American.
Yes.
He's the American dream.
So anyway, he's not actually. I've read something about him as well, which I need to bring up in a minute.
Okay.
John Lennon was the...
John Lennon?
John Lennon, the Beatle.
Oh, gosh, I'm funny.
John Lennon
mm-hmm.
from the University cross-country team also decided to run. So that was her team. There's four of them. We're going to run it. I think there might have been another
guy. Isn't it unusual to run it in a team?
Yeah, and they signed up as a team as well, so only... I don't know if I wrote this down. I don't think I did. Only Arnie went up and got all the numbers and stuff.
Probably a good idea. Yeah. They wouldn't give it to Catherine.
Exactly. She pinned the number that she got, which was 261.
Wait, you know when you did it? Did you get your things?
I didn't do the Boston
you
marathon.
Did a half marathon.
I did, yeah, Manchester.
Did you get your things posted to you?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, generally do that now. Unless you sign up really late, I think. Then you get it on the day. I can't remember. So she pinned the number 261 mm-hmm. with K Switzer. It's got your name on it. Pretty fancy.
K Swiss, the trainer.
Yeah, K Swiss. sponsored on her front. Other runners, apparently, were really excited to see a female. Obviously, they were lining up and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they know that she's female.
She's like an attraction, yeah. Like an entertainment rather than...
Apparently, people would come up to her.
Oh, I bet she didn't get taken seriously as well.
Hmm.
Good on her. Okay. I really like her.
So the people would come up with her, come up to her, guys would come up to her and speak to her, and she felt welcomed, apparently.
Oh, that's good then.
I read a lot of this I got from her website. She's got a website which is like to stop press like asking the questions.
And twisting the story.
Yeah,
and
if you want like the truth, just come, and it's like part of her book. She's got a book, and this is like a chapter of it.
Oh, cool.
So they set off. Mm-hmm. She managed to set off as a female running in the Boston Marathon. About 4 miles in, the runners had to move over to the right side of the road to let this big flatbed truck past and a city bus.
That seems bizarre.
Well, on the back of, I think, I don't know which one, were press with cameras. So they pulled up in front, like driving in front of them as they're running.
In front of all runners or just Catherine and her team? At the moment,
they've pulled up in front of them. And they start taking photos of Catherine. And they were apparently pretty excited to see a woman in the race. All of a sudden, a man in an overcoat and felt hat was in the road, shaking his finger at Catherine. Doing a bit of this. Bit of finger wagging.
Oh, she's trying to run. How
he
rude.
Reached at Catherine and managed to pull off her glove. So she tried to grab her, and he just managed to, she's running, and I think he stood there, and he just managed to pull off her glove. A glove. She thought he was a spectator at first, but then noticed that he had a blue and gold BAA ribbon on his lapel, which I assume is Boston Athletics Association or something like that.
Yeah.
Then she heard a man running from behind her, so they're running along, like the four of them. This man grabbed her by the shoulder, screaming, "Get the hell out of my race and give me those numbers." He tried to rip her number off. I don't know if this was off the front or the back of her shirt. And she said that she slightly wet her pants during this, trying to run off, turned to run off, and the guy at the back of her shirt.
Oh my gosh.
Arnie Briggs, not a big man, tried pushing away this intruder.
Yeah.
And apparently he shouted, "Leave her alone, Jock. I've trained her. She's okay. Leave her alone." The guy, called Jock, shouted, "Stay out of this, Arnie." So obviously they knew each other a bit.
Oh, right. I thought Jock was just like a name.
No. Jock is his name. And that's when Tom, Big Tom, came in and cross-bodied Jock.
Oh, my. Mid-marathon.
Knocking him sideways. So there's actually pictures, because the press have taken pictures of all of this.
Yeah.
So you see this guy who is Jock, I can't remember his second name, I should have written down, who was like a high up in the like the organizers of this race.
Yeah.
And he's got off out of his car or whatever in the race, ran up behind her, tried to rip her numbers off, shouted at her. Arnie tried to push him away, but he's a bit small. And then this big guy has just like shoved
like
him. You see him like fall like to the side of the
road.
And apparently that's when Arnie shouted that they should leg it. So the four of them like sped up and ran off. In the actual article I read, she wrote, that's when the group, sprinting away, they were running like kids out of a haunted house, which I thought was kind of funny.
Well, she sounds really cute.
Yeah.
Also, that's not what you need. I imagine she was nervous enough to run 26 miles.
And she's got the organisers who are just, like,
and then you have to speed
to stop
up.
Her.
She needs to steady her pace. Yeah. That's what's stressing me out. She'll be breathless after a little bit.
She was also terrified of getting arrested.
Oh.
She knew people would say, at this point, as she's running, she's thinking, I'm going to get arrested. And also, if I don't finish, people are going to say this is a publicity stunt.
Oh, that's a joke.
So she felt she'd be letting Jock and people like him win if she quit the race.
She's under so much pressure.
She's under a lot of pressure to finish. That was only right near the start as well. They were 4 miles in, I think.
Yeah, that's like not even a fifth of the way.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you.
And the press apparently caught up to them and started asking them questions. Are she trying to run?
Does that happen at half marathon and marathons nowadays?
Not when I was. No one asked me any questions. I'm not gonna lie.
Would you have been able to answer?
No.
Were you in the zone?
People gave me jelly beans and stuff. Jelly babies mainly.
How did they give them to you?
So there's people on the side of the road, and then they put their hand out or like put out a cup and stuff.
But do you run like next to them to get it then?
Well, I run towards them and I'll be like, yeah, grab off them.
Do you say thanks?
Yeah. People have like all sorts. They have like trays of stuff.
Did Andy get stuff too?
Yeah. I ran it with my friend Andy. This was 2 years ago now. But what was annoying, I needed them as well because I had these like energy drink things, like little squirty things.
Yeah, like tubes.
Tube. What are they called?
I don't know.
I can't remember what they're called. And like a little juice thing. And I had like...
Gel,
yeah, that's it. I had like three of them or something. Oh, maybe I had just one of them. I knew like how many I needed, however many I needed. And I saved it until like mile 10. It's like 13 miles. And then as I got it out, I dropped it. And I was like, oh, that's gone. Like I just opened it and I had like one little bit and then I dropped it. And I was like, oh. But then they do hand them out to you as well, so I think I might have got one. But I was so good because I've been like waiting, I was like,
and that's when you know that you nailed it as well.
And then I needed it, but then people giving jelly babies, so I got some jelly babies. That's good. And I made it.
I hope Catherine made it.
Well, we'll find out now. So her boyfriend, this is what I was going to say, Tom, her boyfriend,
yeah,
Big Tom. Apparently, at this point, like, I only read this in her account. Everyone else ignored this bit, but I just thought it was interesting. He actually ripped off his number shortly after and ran ahead. He was, like, really annoyed at her. And about, like,
why?
I don't know. I can't remember. Like, he was just really angry. So he was scared that he was going to get arrested and stuff. And that, like, I've done this for you and I'm really annoyed, blah, blah, blah. So he actually ripped off his number, sprinted off.
That's not the time to do that for me, Tom.
No.
How horrible. She's on her own. Well, she's with the team, but she's essentially on her own.
Yeah. And she actually passed him later when he was walking.
He didn't finish it before,
No, he finished like an hour later.
Oh, yes.
So she did finish.
Yes.
I can't remember what the time was, but we'll get to that later on, actually. So, yeah, they saw Tom coming later on. About 1 in the morning.
Did they break up?
I don't know.
Okay.
About 1 in the morning, the group, they'd been out. Mm-hmm. They were in Boston, obviously,
yeah.
Not New York. And they saw the newspaper, and their photos were all over the front and back pages, mm-hmm, of these newspapers.
She's
thought.
Famous.
Yeah. 5 years later, 1972,
yep,
women were officially allowed to compete in the Boston Marathon.
Too late if you ask me.
Switzer became an activist for female runners and successfully campaigned to include the women's marathon in the Olympic Games in 1984.
Yep.
Did you know that? Is that what you're going to say?
No.
Oh, okay. Now, more than half the marathon runners in the United States are female.
More than half. Cool.
That's interesting, isn't it? After, yeah, in 1970 or whatever, 1967, there was, you couldn't run. You weren't allowed to run, and now.
Yeah.
Now more than half are.
But, you know, so before like the 1970s then, we're just assuming that nobody ran, like no women ran.
No.
So, because like my friend's a runner.
Yeah.
And she,
yeah.
Even she's really when good. She, yeah, she's really good. Hi, Mabel. Even when she doesn't do like races and stuff, she still runs. Like she runs on average, yeah, like so, 40 miles a week. So, like she's not long distance, but she's a. She's,
yeah. Running. No, they were saying that it wasn't seen as feminine, like the stereotype.
So they just didn't.
So they knew that the races were 1.5 miles maximum. I read somewhere that some athlete said, like, yeah, women had run more than that. Women had, were like, some women were running like 5 miles and stuff, but
mm-hmm,
most didn't.
Oh.
And that no one, this was the thing with these two women who I'm speaking about, like, there's no precedent for them. Like, they look and they have to be like, Can I run this 26 miles?
Yeah,
no
there's
one's
nobody's
done
ever done
it. Yeah.
Which is mad.
So I realised there weren't that much towards the end of that race, but that was the big moment where these people tried to rip
it
off,
though.
And then the press just took that and it became a huge, uh-huh, thing. Switzer competed in over 30 marathons, even winning the 1974 New York Marathon in 3 hours, 7 minutes, and 29 seconds. The female version.
She is rapid.
She also won an Emmy, I believe, for her commentary. I've realised I've written that down, but I can't remember where I read that, but I think
what?
I
must,
an Emmy for commentary of athletics, I think.
Oh, cool.
She's written a number of books as well, and she is the founder of 261 Fearless, which is a running club for women, 261 being the number that she wore at that race in 1967. Last year, exactly 50 years on from that day, at the age of 70, she ran the Boston Marathon again, and she wore the same race number as in 1967.
She is showing me up.
And it was retired after the race by the marathon, becoming only the second number that the marathon has retired.
What's the other one?
I don't know. Sorry.
It's all right.
But yeah, like, I knew that they did that in football. Some teams with like long histories, like AC Milan, if they have a player who plays them is like influential for like 15, 20 years, they'll retire that number at the end
of
their careers. AC Milan.
Of the player?
I think Paolo Maldini, maybe like number 3 or number 4. I think, you don't know who he is, do you?
Not a clue.
But yeah, especially in Italy, I think they do that. But I've never heard of a marathon actually being like, no one will ever use 261 again. That's her number.
That's cute, though.
It's cool, isn't
it?
Yeah. Do you want to give us a couple of facts? No.
Yeah.
And then I'll come back with my second short report.
So, on the theme of marathons, I'll give you some marathon facts. The record for the most marathons run on consecutive days...
Oh, can I have a guess?
...is...
Eddie Izzard did it for a while, which was like 50 days, I think.
Eddie Izzard? I don't know if I know who he is, because he's not who I picture to run marathons.
No, oh, he's a comedian and a...
Yeah, but...
He did it for like charity a few years ago.
Looks like someone's dad.
Yeah, he didn't do any training.
Oh my gosh.
But he also didn't complete it each one within like... He's supposed to be in like 6 hours or 8 hours or something. There's like a cut-off point or something. In official offence. Anyway.
So how many did he do?
I think he did 49 in 52 days or something like that.
Right, okay.
Or 50 and 50, I don't know. 80?
All right, okay. You're wrong. Oh. It was 365.
What? A marathon a day?
A Belgian runner, Stefan Engels, is known as the Marathon Man. He set the record in 2011, aged 49.
He did a marathon a day? That's good before your 50th birthday as well.
It must have been. He must have been like, I'm getting on.
Yeah. 365, that is mental.
The French ultramarathon runner Serge Girard holds the world record for the longest distance run in 365 days. He ran every day for a year, like similar to the other one, but he crossed a total of 25 countries and covered a total distance of 16,783 miles.
That is double what I drive in my car each year.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? But there's some facts that I didn't include because obviously there was quite a few facts that I came across which are trying to convince people to run. So it's like those people who run between 12 and 18 miles, it's meant to be like really good for your like bones and like really good for your health. But if you run up to like 40 miles a week, it's like, yeah, they're the ones who are at risk.
Oh,
like,
really?
Injury, and it's just not as good for you, I don't think.
So that guy, when you say he ran the most in a year,
he must have ran more than a marathon every day though,
right? Because the ultra marathon's like 100 miles or 50 miles generally, I think.
Oh, I don't know. I've never heard of an ultra marathon.
Oh yeah, they do like 100 mile races.
I don't know.
Our friend Adrian, I don't know if he's done 100 mile, but he's definitely done like 50 mile and 60 odd mile races.
Insane.
It's crazy, that, isn't it?
Yep. Do you want some more?
Yeah, give us a couple more and then I'll continue.
Are you carrying on talking about marathons?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, okay, I'll fit some in after as well. The fastest marathon runner in the world is Kenyan Dennis Kimeto, and he set the world record in the 2014 Berlin Marathon when he ran it in 2 hours, 2 minutes and 57 seconds. Insane.
Quick. I ran my half marathon, which was on a very flat course. It's mm-hmm. like a course for getting like your PB, and that was in 1 hour 45. So he about 15 minutes later, he was finishing a whole marathon.
Yeah, but
it's crazy.
Yeah, that makes me feel bad. I've just got one more fact.
None of this should make you feel bad.
It does.
Should make you feel
I'm
good.
I'm not a good runner. So there's a German man called Marcus Jurgens, and he holds the marathon world record in backward running. This one will make you feel bad. At the 2017 Hanover Marathon, he crossed the finish line in 3 hours, 38 minutes and 27 seconds. He ran a marathon backwards.
I would have beaten him by about 8 minutes if I'd stayed at my pace.
Forwards.
Yeah, forwards.
How insane is that?
That's quick.
How
That's
do you run
quick,
backwards?
Bro. I don't know. Does he have like mirrors or anything?
I don't know.
He needs to get some mirrors.
3 hours, 40 minutes. Insane.
How do you run backwards?
I don't know. Like,
because it's very much like on pushing off your toes.
Yeah,
sort of thing.
I can do it. I have done it. I used to do it at football training, but I've never done a marathon. Did it like little side.
You get tired. Your legs aren't used to that.
The width of the pitch. Not even the width of the pitch.
Yeah.
Not the length of the width.
No. Your legs aren't used to that.
Well, his legs must be used to
it.
He's good, isn't he?
His quads. What's going on there?
Yeah. got some romance okay. and stuff later.
Oh, brilliant. Ooh. So, it was after I'd written that first report that I actually came across something.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing a bit of final bit of research for it, and I saw a different name. In the very first video I had watched, that interview with Switzer,
mm-hmm.
It said that Switzer hadn't been the first woman to run that marathon. But then everything else I saw about Catherine Switzer said first woman to run the Boston Marathon. So I just assumed it was a typo. But then it was on Switzer's own website that she mentioned a woman named Bobby Gibb. Gibb had grown up in the suburbs of Boston.
Roberta.
Don't know.
Cool.
Bobby, to her friends and podcast listeners.
Yeah.
She'd grown up in suburbs of Boston. By all accounts, she didn't fit into the stereotypical feminine mould that society held at that time. That's what I've read.
She's a bit of a tomboy, in other words.
She liked to run, is one thing that she liked to do, which, mm-hmm. again, isn't something that...
No, not supposed to, Bobby.
Thing I was supposed to do. She wanted to go to medical school, but apparently couldn't. I read that she was told in interviews that they thought she'd be taking a man's spot, or that she'd just leave at some point to get married and have babies. Instead, are you okay?
Yeah, I'm just...
It gets better.
Okay.
Instead, she went to law school, taking night classes, and working during the day at MIT. The
Michigan Institute of Technology.
Yeah, I'm glad you know what that was. I did not know the term. it's crazy thinking that women...
Know that because I know FIT.
What's that?
It's the Fashion Institute of something in New York.
Oh, right, okay.
So I just did a guess.
Good. Was it Michigan, though? Sure.
Don't know.
Oh, right, okay. I thought you said it so convincingly.
Wherever she was, if it's an M, might fit.
Massachusetts? Boston, Massachusetts? So maybe it's Massachusetts.
Maybe, yeah.
People know this, and we obviously don't.
Yeah, sorry, gang.
So yeah, women didn't run for that long. It's crazy that just didn't happen at the time. And yeah, as I mentioned, they knew they only competed in 1.5-mile races, so they only trained for that. And she was going so far beyond the norm, even attempting to run any further than that.
Yeah.
And I think she did. I think I read somewhere. I'm sure it was her. That, like, she ran into does that make sense? Or is that a different woman? Might have been someone else around the same time who just would run into Mexico and did, like, 40 miles or something in a day.
She's a bit too far from
Mexico. I realised that. I think it might have been this other woman who was at the same time, who I mentioned later.
Okay.
So she decided that she was going to run the Boston Marathon.
Yep.
1966.
So the year before
Catherine. She'd trained for this. She was running. And
she trained by herself?
I think so, yeah. I didn't really find anything about who she trained with or anything. Obviously, Catherine had Arnie. She trained, seemingly she was ready for this race. She'd ran 26 miles, I think, a few times. She'd taken a cross-country bus trip to get from San Diego to Boston for this race.
So she's not from Boston. So probably wrong with Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
She was from Boston. She grew up in the suburbs of Boston.
San Diego.
Yeah, MIT is actually the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
Oh, well, why was she in San Diego?
I can't remember. It's not relevant to the story. All you need to know is she was coming from San Diego to Boston, and she'd been eating apples and bus station chili for like however long it took to get that coast to that coast, from west to east. So not great. And the night before the race, she'd eaten her mum's pot roast and apple pie, which was apparently weighing on her stomach.
So many apples.
So even though she's ready in terms of she's been training, she's not ready, you know,
she's feeling
food
a bit
wise.
Podge.
Yeah, because she didn't know what to eat before.
No. Nope.
And she's not had a choice in terms of the travel. She was wearing a black bathing suit, her brother's shorts, and she'd bought some boys' running shoes in San Diego specifically for the race. She'd had her hair cut shorter than normal and she pulled it back. And she covered her head with a blue hoodie.
Uh-huh. She must have been warm.
As I mentioned, I didn't mention anything about registering because she didn't register for the race. Yep. Bobby hid in the bushes near the start line as she could. Yeah. And when half the pack went by, she stepped into the race.
Oh my gosh.
So she's just running in the middle of this pack. Unregistered.
She didn't want the time.
No, because, well, she weren't able to register. The next year, Catherine Switzer did it, but she, with her initials.
At the time, did Catherine Switzer know about Bobby?
Yeah, so we'll get to that in a sec. So, she started strong, Bobby, in this race. So she's running the whole thing, and she's well trained. But as she got towards the end, it started to become tough. The food, first of all, couldn't have helped, I don't think.
No.
And her father thought that this race would be the end of her. She'd obviously gone back to her parents' house and the night before for food, and he thought, no, you're not able to do this.
Or you're going to be arrested, like, you're not going to be able to get a job anywhere ever again. Yeah. Like,
it's not going to be good for you.
Even if you can't, like, because obviously they didn't think women could finish it, but even just doing it is not worth it to a lot of people.
And her mother apparently had to be coaxed into taking her to the starting line as well. So
I think my mum would just take me.
She's struggling.
As long as it weren't illegal, but it's still illegal, so there we go.
She's struggling. She's got a bit of food in her stomach. She's feeling a bit podge, a bit
she's
weighing heavily.
I hate having fat days.
She's not necessarily having a fat day, but she's just heavy.
One of them days where you feel fat though as well. And, I guarantee she was having a fat stodgy day.
I don't look like a parent to give it, you know, backing her. But
back yourself, is what I say.
Well, I've said but too earlier. There's no but yet. There was no water stops and no mile markers either. So you don't know exactly how far you are by the sounds of it.
Sometimes I don't know if mile markers are the devil, though. Because you might think you've gone further than you have.
Speaking of which, a race I once did. I took on a challenge. Some call me heroic. Others don't.
Heroic.
you know the word, heroic. Heroic.
You didn't say it like that.
I'll just cut a clean one in. Heroic. Let's cut that one in, Matt. So, I took on a race on 2 days' notice. That was the heroic bit. And it was a bike race.
Yep.
Bicycle. You heard the story. 65 mile race.
The story about the ketchup on this race.
Oh, yeah. It was from... Where did I go from? Manchester to Blackpool. So 65 miles. And it was fine. Like, I'd cycled before. I'd never really cycled that far. And as we got towards Blackpool, you see the tower, the Blackpool Tower in the distance. And you saw a marker that said 2 miles. And I was like, mint? I feel all right. Let's get the pedal to the metal, or whatever they say. We just, like, burned down this like... lane or whatever
sped
it was
up.
For a while, and then we started to get tired, and
obviously,
it didn't seem like 2 miles, and then we saw an actual marker which said 10 miles,
so it was probably 12.
So the 2 miles was for a half marathon also going on that day,
right?
In the area. So we got to the 10 mile marker for our race, and I was dying, and it wasn't good. I think that was about when we stopped to get water and stuff. As you mentioned, ketchup.
Yeah.
It was a very warm day. And I decided to eat a hot dog, obviously taking it very seriously. And I spilled ketchup on my leg, wiped it off, and the next day I had a burn where my ketchup stain had been. Very warm
day. Sunburn, though.
Yeah, sunburn. Yeah. No, sunburn, like where the stain was,
because
I'd wiped my sun cream off. That was, yes. So anyway... None of this happened to Bobby Gibb.
She just didn't have any mile markers.
She also, as there were no water stops, she didn't drink any water because she didn't know she had to. She didn't.
Oh,
she just
my
thought,
gosh.
I normally just run it. And
did
it's
she not
fine.
Speak to anyone, though? Like,
no, I don't think so. So, And she usually ran her in her...
Didn't have Google then either, did they?
No, they didn't. She usually ran in her nursing shoes as well. And these new boys' shoes didn't quite fit, which I imagine didn't help either.
Yeah.
So, she was worried as she ran. Similar to Catherine here, she said that if I failed to finish, I would set women back another 50 years, maybe more. So, she's feeling... As she's running, she's feeling like a weight of...
Yeah.
Of pressure on her. Same way that Catherine did the next year. And I saw an interview with Bobby Gibb. And she said that the men in her race were so supportive. And apparently a local radio station was actually following her progress, updating listeners on that. And so as she got nearer the finish, the crowds were growing and growing. And she said it was torture to put one foot in front of the other. But she made the final turn around the final bend, uh-huh. And she's met with shrieks and applause, apparently.
Aww.
And she finished in 3 hours, 21 minutes and 40 seconds. And she came 126th out of 540.
That is so good.
So she's a good runner.
Yeah.
Especially
like in them shoes, eating all that food. Yeah. Like for to even finish is mad.
And she, 3 hours 21 is,
and no
is
water.
Really good. Yeah. The Massachusetts Governor John Volpe came over to her,
mm-hmm.
to shake her hand.
Aww.
And girl finishes marathon was the headline in the Boston Globe the next day.
Girl.
Yeah, I thought as well. Gibb also ran the next year, the same year that Switzer ran.
Did
and
she?
Actually beat Switzer by more than an hour. Although there was much less fanfare for her. She didn't sign up again, I don't think. I think it was
she
another
just did it.
Dropping in and running out.
But she'd already done it once,
not,
like, so she
maybe.
Was less of
yeah.
a like it was less of a phenomenon.
Yeah, but also when you look back at this, everyone knows Catherine Switzer is the first woman who ran the Boston Marathon.
Because she signed up.
And because, yeah, actually because she signed up and because the press
yeah,
took their pictures
the,
of her.
Yeah.
And it became this big, like...
Well, so obviously nobody's focusing on Bobby, though, because they're thinking about Catherine.
On in this one,
yeah.
There was also, in 1968, Nina Kuskic and Marjorie Fish ran it alongside Gibb in 1968.
Oh,
as well.
The numbers are growing.
So there's,
soon they'll take over the men.
I don't know if Switzer ran that, yeah. And then Sarah Mae Berman won this unofficial female race in 69, 70, and 71.
Wow.
So she was another one. And then, of course, the women's race was added in 72. So
still took 5 years to add
so
a women's
was,
race.
By the looks of it, there was probably 5 women who did this unofficially for... those years from 66, 67 and then 68, 69, 70, 71. I think Sarah Mae Berman might be the woman who ran into Mexico. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay, cool.
On her runs.
But you know, it isn't separate for men and women now, is it?
No, no. Obviously, everyone runs at the same time.
But they split the times. So like, when we do part run, I get an email saying I came second out of the women.
Yeah.
I'm not second out of the women, I think I am. second out of the women in my age category.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've done that twice, officially, guys.
Yeah, so you have the elite runners who start the marathon, and they do...
So they'll have times for women and times for men, I mean.
Yeah, yeah, so there's, like, I think, I don't know which way it is, but say, like, the men set off, and then, like, however long later the women set off, these are the elite runners, and then you got the fun runners, which is everyone.
Were you a fun runner?
Well, fun runners and... all those like semi-professional runners. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if there was an
how
elite
runner.
How do
you runners. Be defined as
elite? I'm just thinking of London Marathon, to be honest. I don't know what
I'm assuming
there's
a pretty common, like...
Yeah, like the elite people at the front, they set off, and then you've got everyone else. But you all get your individual times, so you can line it up and say...
Yeah, cool.
So then, Gibbs worked for nearly 2 decades as a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And became a full-time sculptor. And now spends her time working... This was from a couple of years ago, 2 or 3 years ago. Spends her time working on sculptures, paintings, and writing. She also works with the Cecil B. Day Neuromuscular Research Lab at the University of Massachusetts, studying and passing through research on neurodegenerative diseases. She's a clever woman, and that was really difficult
broad.
To say.
Yeah. Also very... Like, she's got
she's
her
got
fingers
a lot
in a lot of pies.
She's very, yeah, she works as a lawyer, she's doing science stuff, which is what she wanted to originally,
she's
was like medicine.
Stuff as well.
Very creative.
Oh, I really like her.
In,
I like them both.
1984, mm-hmm. Bobby, was commissioned to make bronze sculptures for the three top finishers of the women's Olympic marathon trials as well.
Oh,
so I don't think it was the actual marathon, but the people, the trials yeah. for the marathon, she gave them. She
made That's them, cool.
Because she's a sculptor.
Mm-hmm.
Gibb and Berman, who's the woman who won it in 69, 70, and 71, Sarah May Berman.
Yeah.
Met in 1996 at the 100th anniversary of the Boston Marathon,
mm-hmm.
and they became friends. Aww. And apparently Gibb, I don't know if this is still true, like, this was two years ago, but still. Gibb stays with Berman often, with Berman having her sculptures and paintings in her house, which is really nice. That is amazing.
Yeah.
And the Boston Athletic Association officially recognised Gibb's three wins in 1966, 1967, and 1968, and awarded her a medal.
That is cute.
Her name was inscribed with the names of the other winners on the Boston Marathon Memorial in Copley Square. So now, like, they've officially acknowledged, like,
yeah,
their involvement from 66 onwards until.
They have a lot to be proud of.
Yeah. These are, you know, like I said, I think there's maybe like five or six who run it in. As, so it was like just her, and then it was her and Catherine Switzer, and then a couple of other people.
Then, yeah.
And I think Sarah May Berman really wanted to be the first woman to run it, and then I can't remember why she didn't originally.
Then
she heard about Bobby Gibb doing it, and then she did it, and she was really good, and she won it three times in a row. I also think this maybe the 2017 or the 2016. One, because Catherine Switzer ran it.
Yeah.
I think Gibb was going to run it, but she couldn't for whatever reason, like illness and stuff. So I think she was like, I want to say like the race something or other. Oh, this is a bad fact to end on. Like maybe the person who shoots the gun at the start.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember what it's called. Yeah. Let's go back to the
I know is like tail walkers.
Oh yeah.
I love a tail walker.
Why do you love a tail walker?
It's probably because where I'd be.
Mm.
That's the one I could do. That's the job for me.
So that's my report on Catherine Switzer, and then we jump back another year to Bobby Gibb, who was
a great report.
Two females who changed running, really, because then obviously that proves that women could run long distances and the marathon became a race that they could do, and then became Olympic. Olympic sport after that? No, Olympic
for
race
for women.
For women, yeah. After that, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Because it's crazy. They've only ran 1.5 miles races before that, and at the Olympics, 800 meters. Crazy.
It's bizarre. Sexism.
Yeah.
Sex. Pure sexism.
Okay.
But my facts.
I want your facts.
Okay, so I'll start off with some broad running facts, and then I'll go back into marathons. Athletes dressed in red are more likely to win events than athletes wearing any other colour.
Wow.
Don't know why. It's cool, though, isn't it?
Is that just like because a lot of people wear red? But do a lot of people wear red?
I was thinking I probably wouldn't wear red. I'd wear black.
Is this what you wear black at all times of the
year?
So I don't
think
so.
I've got a navy blue jumper on, so...
It looks quite dark.
No, I'd just wear black to not show sweat, personally.
You can't really see in red either. You know what I made a mistake of doing? Put face cream on before for my run.
I finished,
and I was like, what is this flake? Why is my face flaking? And it was like, you look weird.
Yeah, you are weird.
That wasn't good.
The fastest mile, it was run in 1999 by a Moroccan man, Hicham El Gourouj. And he ran it in 3 minutes 43 seconds at 43.13
seconds. Oh, right, okay. Crazy, isn't it, that? There's I think he's Norwegian. I saw the other day on a Twitter moment that a Norwegian runner, I don't know his name, is 17, last year became like the youngest ever person under the age of 16 to run a mile under 4 minutes or something. And he just won... I think it was the 1,500 and the 5,000 meter race at the European Championships.
He's gonna be quick.
He got gold in both. He's How seven, old is it? 17. 17. And his brother got silver in, I don't know if in both, but at least in one. So he's like this new, like, whiz kid of
prodigy
running.
How quick do you run miles?
Not that quick.
Okay.
Depends, doesn't it, really? I live in a hilly area. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
It's tough.
I'm running up that hill. I'm like Kate Bush.
I was about to say Kate Bush. In the feet.
Elizabeth would like that.
Oh, hi, Elizabeth. In the feet, 26 bones, 33 joints, 112 ligaments, and a network of nerves, tendons, and blood vessels have to work together when we run. They're doing a lot.
Is that in your whole body? Sorry.
That's just your feet.
Oh, right, okay. Because I was going to say, one of them in my leg at the moment isn't working.
Yeah, my Matt's knee. Injured, everyone. So no running for Matthew.
No.
I'll be running tomorrow, though. Don't worry, everyone.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to go for a run tomorrow, but I don't know if everyone can tell, but I have got a cold. I've been struggling. I've been poorly all week, so I actually was planning to do a run tomorrow, even before this.
Even before this. Hopefully, this inspired people to go for a run.
Yeah, 45
or if not,
run.
I think the European Championships are still on. Maybe watch.
Yeah, sounds good. The fastest mile for a woman was set by Russia's Svetlana Masterkova. In 1996, but it's not been seriously challenged since, and she ran it in 4:12.56.
Still a chance to go under 4 minutes. Still not been done.
Mm-hmm, I think so.
On the barrier test for you for next week.
I'm not a sprinter. I'm more of a, I'll stay at the same pace and not improve for the whole time.
What is it that horses do? They gallop.
Or the canter.
Canter. You're a canterer.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
Is canter the slow one, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
I wasn't a runner, I was a swimmer. So yeah. I used to do races. And my mum and dad used to be infuriated when I got out because they were like, you look like the same as when you're training. There's literally no
There's
difference.
No,
and I'm like, I tried a bit.
You
I
didn't
tried.
Go quicker at any point. You just
No,
like,
I didn't look quicker. I just, they were like, you look like you're leisurely.
Yeah.
Swimming
That's
to
what
the
you
end
do. You
of
run as well.
I know. Me and Matt went for a run and Matt was trying to get me to speed up and I was just like,
no,
I'm
this
content.
Is my pace.
The fastest runner in the world is the Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt. He's now retired.
Yes.
I had a Google right because I thought his name was too fitting. I thought he'd given himself that name.
Oh, right, okay.
He hasn't.
No, he's not.
It is
no.
his name.
Yeah.
He holds the world record in the 100 metres and the 200 metres.
Can I have a guess?
Yes.
Do you have the pace? I think it's
I have the seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Is it 9.58.
Oh, it's so close.
That was close.
What about 200 metres?
It's like 19.2-ish.
19.19.
Oh,
you're so close.
I was so close on both.
His maximum recorded speed is 27.8 miles per hour.
That's faster than I drive.
That is faster than you drive, you little granddad. And now I'm going to move back to marathons in my facts.
Oh, really? Okay.
The youngest marathon runner in the world is Buddhia Singh, and he has already finished 48 marathons before his 5th birthday.
What? No. I thought you said like 15.
48.
Is he being carried, though? What's going on?
No, I don't think so. I don't know.
This is mental.
Says the youngest marathon runner in the world.
Perfect.
The oldest marathon finisher comes from India, and his name is Fauja Singh. He ran the Toronto Waterfront Marathon in Canada.
Oh, that sounds nice.
When he was 100 years old.
Decent. Good 100th birthday.
He finished it in 8 hours, 25 minutes and 16 seconds.
Not bad.
And I read the facts and it was like, don't be put off by running because he only started when he was 89.
Oh, wow.
So
well,
he'd been
then.
Running for like 11 years when he did the marathon as the oldest one. I got distracted a lot when I was finding these facts, but I was pretty interested. I was trying to find like where the meaning of the word, like where the word run came from.
The etymology.
And I did get into that, but I'm not going to mention that. There are some cool ones. It's like, they do like, to run away with came from like, this is a bad example, but there are actual ones where it's like 1784 from this. And it's like, to run for election. So like to go for something is to run for election, and that come from like 1800s in America.
Oh, really?
So I was looking, but there weren't many related to just running. It was more like the the verb run.
Running. We could have done a topic then on running for president, couldn't you?
Yeah.
Running for election, but we didn't.
Yeah, because I guess you can take it wherever you want. Yeah. But I did just look into the marathon. So the marathon is a defined distance, and it commemorates an ancient Greek town with an unusual route totaling somewhere around 24 to 26 miles. Did you look into it at all?
No.
So, the founder of the International Olympic Committee and the modern Olympics was Pierre de Coubertin. So, he was founding the Olympics. And the plan for the marathon at the 1896 Olympics in Athens came from him looking...
I have heard that before,
Greek history. Yeah. So, the Olympic Games actually inspired the first Boston Marathon, which culminated on April 19th, 1897.
Oh, right.
And it was a nod to Greek history. The first marathon commemorated the run of the soldier, I'm going to try and pronounce this, Pheidippides, from a battlefield near the town of Marathon, Greece, to Athens, and this was in 490 BC. And according to legend, Pheidippides ran approximately 25 miles to announce the defeat of the Persians, because the Athens were quite anxious, so he was saying victory. And he wasn't quite in shape, so the story goes that he delivered the message, which is Nike, which means victory, that's what he said, and then he died. He said victory, fell over and died.
Oh, maybe he said Nike, and she was like, do we have a Nike?
No.
Oh, I could go into more detail.
So... the first Flipping official heck. Race from Marathon Bridge to the Olympic Stadium in Athens for the Olympics 1896 was a distance of 24.85 miles. And a Greek postal worker called Spyridon Louis won the race in 2 hours 58 minutes and 50 seconds. He finished 7 minutes ahead of everyone else. And there was 25 entrants in the first race and only 9 finished.
Yeah, because you'd be like, I heard the last guy who did this died.
Thousands of years ago.
Yeah.
And then after 1896, for the next few Olympics, the length of marathons varied. There weren't a defined distance. It felt that because it was a different course, like in a different place, there was no need to keep the distance the same as long as it was between 24 and 26. But it was in 1908, it was the London Olympics, and the course was laid out from Windsor Castle to White City Stadium. It was about 26 miles, but to locate the finish line in front of the royal family's viewing box, an extra 385 yards was added inside the stadium.
Right.
Hence the marathon tradition of yelling "God save the Queen" in the last mile.
Didn't know it was a thing.
Never heard of it, but so
isn't it? So that is it 26.2 miles now, I think. Something like that.
Yeah, so that's where it came from. So it took the International Amateur Athletic Federation adopted the distance in 1908. But in the first 7 modern Olympics, when the Olympics started, there were 6 different distances.
All right.
Yeah, that's weird. In 1908, it became 26.2 miles. And today, there's more than 500 organised marathons in 64 countries around the world. And there's more than 425,000 marathon finishers in the United States alone.
Oh.
Which is huge.
That is cool. Do you know if in Athens in 2004 they did the same race? Oh, it would have had to be slightly longer, wouldn't it? From marathon to Athens.
I don't know.
Also, what was my other fact? I've been to Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
When I was younger, which is where the ancient Olympic Games were founded.
That's cool.
And they have sort of leftover bits from that, and one of them is a running race track.
Oh.
So I had a running race, and I came second to Dan.
Oh, well done, Dan.
On the track.
Is Dan a faster runner than you?
No, at least I was about 8 or 9, if not younger. So he had a good. He'd hit teenage years at this point, so that's what it was. I'd definitely beat him now. That's a challenge directly to you.
You're injured.
Right, okay. This time next year, Dan, that's a challenge directly to you. I'll meet you in Olympia. We'll race again. It was also Kirsty, a family friend, who came third. You can get involved if you want, but I'll beat you all. So, thanks for those facts.
It's all right. Thank you for the report.
Really good. Really good. If you want to listen to our back catalogue, you're more than welcome to.
What you got? Just have a download.
Have a little. Have a what? Oh, have a download. I think you said dabble, but then you said it wrong. Have a dabble, Lord. We got 53 for you to go and listen to.
Ooh.
Last week we did presidents. Lorna spoke about Edith Wilson.
Yep.
First unofficial female president of the United States. And I talked about assassination attempts on Fidel Castro.
Yeah, I quite like the new format because you can take it anywhere you want, really. Yeah.
There was 634 or 638 assassination attempts on Fidel Castro. And we went through some of the more bizarre ones last week.
Mm-hmm.
We got all sorts of stuff. If you want to suggest a topic, if you want to get in touch at any point, feel free to on the Twitter at Idiot History Pod, or just search Idiots Talk History, you'll find us. Or Gmail, you can email us at idiothistorypod@gmail.com. Leave a review if possible on whatever podcast app you use. Apparently, we can only see the reviews from UK listeners. Do you know that?
Yep. I have heard that.
But if you're in the UK, that'd be great. If you're anywhere else, that'd also be great. And tell a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We'll be setting up a Facebook page soon. So
yes,
give
look
that
out
a like
for our
as
new
well.
Pages and Instagram.
We'll update you on that. So anything else?
No, thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening, and we'll speak to you next week.
Yep.
Bye. Bye.